How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Are you feeling excellent?
I'm not necessarily I'm feeling very well. I'm good. Yes.
Very well. Very good, but not excellent.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Excellence is one of those words that, I'll be honest, excellence is one of those words that I struggle with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that because, well, why is that, Mark? Give me some reasons.
Well, I think of excellence in some ways like perfection.
Yeah.
That there is this.
Synonymous.
Yeah. Yeah. That there is this point that I've could reach, that I have arrived, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something to be said for doing things with excellence. And yet, like perfection, it's like it can make what is good seem insufficient. Welcome to How I See It with me, Mark Pratt, and
Justin Sternberg. This is a podcast that works to counter cultural polarization through thoughtful conversations.
Yeah, so it's interesting what you just said in the sense that you kind of feel like excellence is something you can achieve. That's kind of what you're saying.
Sure.
I feel like my struggle is kind of the opposite in the sense that excellence feels like a sliding scale to where it is unachievable.
Okay.
And
like once you reach a mark or a point,
right,
it moves.
It moves, yeah.
I gotcha. The bar just got higher.
Yeah.
Because I achieved excellence, what I thought was excellence. Now excellence has gone even higher.
It's like that carrot on a stick.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Bring it back to the stick. I understand.
Always the stick, Mark. This time there's a carrot too. So
I got you. Yeah.
But you know, the carrot on a stick stuck to your back, right? Or whatever. So it's like always dangling in front of you and you're chasing after it. And then you think you got it. And then it's the same distance away. And you got to take a break for a minute. That's kind of how I
see. We're already looking at this one word from that's polarizing.
Right. That's right. Differences. And yet we're both in the same place of like, yeah, it's a word to struggle with, or
sure,
a triggering word, yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Which, here's why I think that's a little bit ironic. Well, I won't speak for myself. I'll let you tell him I'm excellent. But I was going to say, Mark is definitely a guy who pursues excellence in the things that he does. I can attest to that from my perspective. He's not going to sit on his haunches and say, well, good enough or whatever. And, you know, we got to talk about that too. Cause
I'll let you share your point of view.
Yeah. Yes. Cause sometimes that decision to do that is actually excellent because it's about, you know, priorities. But again, it really comes down to the definition of excellence.
Yeah.
But I think of you as somebody who cares about your work and wants to do the best you can do. Which each thing that you're tackling, which I think is excellence.
I hear you.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I thank you.
Hey, good job. I can see your head getting bigger.
No, like you say.
Gotta listen to that Pride episode.
That's right. That's
no,
right.
No, that was just if you haven't listened to the Pride episode, Mark doesn't take compliments well. So his thank you is actually a very huge achievement.
I would consider
that excellent growth there, Mark.
Thank you. But moving right along in that process, I think, you know, excellence is going to be one of those things that is going to be viewed. You're going to, and here again, you shared how you see me. I share, you know, I would see you in that dynamic as well, you know, based on what you do for, you know, your job. And, you know, I see you as the IT guy, you know, and I think of perfection even more so because in that context, if the scripting, the stuff you do, you know, has one error in it, it's not going to work.
Hmm.
So, you know, I respect.
I wish that was true.
Well, that's how I see it, you know? And from a programming perspective, you know, that's...
I'll let you finish.
Yeah, that's how I see it. And I extend that to you as well. And yet, I also realize that everybody is going to bring a different perspective of what excellence is. And some of that is going to be, you know, related to... related occupationally. I think that's where we're going to, you know, tend to view a desire for excellence. And I think, you know, some things that might be more important, like my family relationship with God, I might not necessarily put the same effort into that I do what other people might see. You follow me? It's probably far easier to be excellent or strive for excellence in the areas of occupation.
Yeah.
Because I think we are continually, or there is that standard
measurement,
Yes. That basically says, okay, this is what we're looking for. And I think that's simpler to be able to achieve. And yet at the same time, that's not always, you know, where our best energy should, you know, it's not always where our best energy, that's not always our best priority. In that, where my energy goes. And I think for me, excellence and energy kind of relate to one another. Because I think it takes a certain amount of energy to achieve excellence. And sometimes the difference is, well, I just don't want to put that effort, that much effort into it.
As you're talking about occupation and measurement, it kind of made me think about how someone, or often, and people like me in particular who care about approval, we optimize for approval. So we're going to, you know, excellence, we're going to pursue, you know, and this is something I have tried to mature in, right? But like work towards demonstrating excellence where the measurement happens and not so much where it doesn't, which is why I would get my priorities out of whack sometimes and optimize for that approval instead of, like, for instance, my family is to me my most important job, but sometimes I forget that, you know, to the degree where I'm optimizing for the approval of others
and
putting my excellence somewhere where, you know. So I think that's, go ahead.
In a place where we desire affirmation.
Yeah.
That's where we
Or we can see the measurement numbers and it's much clearer, right? So it's like, okay, today I got a win.
It's easy to quantify.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, it's a good one. Quantification and excellence, you know, I think often can go hand in hand.
Agreed.
In that pursuit. Yeah.
Sure.
That's good.
And I think there's that point where, you know, personality will come into play. I think, you know, when you were sharing your aspect of approval, you know, your desire for approval, I think of, you know, as we've talked about before, the love styles, you know, the pleaser, you know, that person that just wants to be able to get it right, do it right, you know, so that they are viewed as pleasing.
I think
at times it is more difficult for that personality style, you know, to wrestle with excellence, because I think it is that moving carrot type thing. You know, it's like, well, I did it the way you wanted it done, you know, but it still wasn't good enough.
And the moving carrot thing a lot of times is from others, but also a lot of times it's from ourselves, where it feels like, oh, if I achieved that, it must not be hard enough. Almost like, so that carrot continues to stay stuck to your own back. So every time you move, you kind of move your own goal.
Sure.
You know, because it's like, well, that wasn't good enough or whatever. I think, because I do think some people are self-driven in that way, to where that becomes a problem.
Sure.
Where it's never good enough. And actually, you know, it's a stick in the sense that it can be problematic in someone's life, but it can also drive them to excellence, or they're truly outstanding in their field, whatever that is. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Yeah.
So help me understand from your perspective the difference between excellence and perfection.
Yeah, so that's a good one. So, because like you said, they kind of become synonymous.
Uh-huh.
Where I think the reason they feel connected is because perfection is without flaw.
Yeah.
And excellence is a moving target. So in order to feel like you achieved excellence, you have to be able to say there can be nothing better, right?
Mm.
Therefore, you know, excellence, that moving car in front of you hits a wall of perfection and you can catch it now.
Wow. Okay.
Right?
Yeah. No, I see it differently. I see, okay. I see excellence as a 95, 98, whereas perfection is the 100.
Well, no, I agree with you.
Oh, okay.
I guess what I'm saying is,
I think we journey through excellence to get to perfection.
Yeah, I agree with that. I guess. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. But we're not going to always achieve perfection.
Yeah.
And so that's the difficult part. And where is it to the point of, and I think this is part of the wrestling for many people as well. You know, it's like, well, if I can't get there, or if I see myself as being unable to get there, there's no use bothering.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't even necessarily try at times. Mm-hmm. I won't necessarily put the effort in to learn because if I can't do it at that level, then there's no use even trying.
That reminds me of Frisbee last night, Mark.
How so, Justin?
So Mark and I played Ultimate Frisbee last night. It was very fun.
Yes, indeed.
And one of our good friends, Will, was on my team, and he was throwing in such a way last night to where it was, so what often happens is someone will really believe in you, and they'll throw the Frisbee way too far.
Sure.
And you look at it and you go, nope, right?
Sure. You make that instant judgment.
Right. I gotcha. And it's just like, kind of like what you're saying. Well, I can't reach there, so I'm just going to stop here.
Sure.
Right? Like I'm not even going to try.
You've already made up your mind.
Right. Or maybe I'm going to, you know, give like a half-hearted effort and be like, well, it was your fault. See, I tried kind of thing.
Sure.
I don't know. And sometimes you can do the opposite where you don't believe enough. And so, you know, it's like, I can't shoot for excellence because I'm not given the opportunities, right? But I think the perfect throw is the one that I have to bust my butt to get to that Frisbee.
Sure.
The chances that the person guarding me is going to get to it before me is slim because it's out there in front of both of us. And
sure.
I'm closer, you know, I'm on my
one after. Step ahead.
Right, exactly. So that's where I feel like, you know, excellence comes into play is like, it drives you to go beyond maybe what you think you can do, just beyond that limit, and it causes you to go further than you would. And I feel like that can be a good motivation for excellence.
Yeah.
You know, but I do think you're right. Sometimes we put those standards so far out in front of a person to where they either don't try or they give it, you know, kind of half-hearted effort and go, well, look how far I came and look how far you threw it. Like, clearly you're the one at fault here. You know what I mean?
No, I hear you.
I don't know. It just made me think about
it. Made me think of, as you were describing that, it makes me think about good goals.
Yeah.
You know, I think, you know, goals do tend to help motivate us.
Yeah.
But too lofty of a goal is debilitating as well, because it's like, now
discouraging.
Discouraging. Yeah. Yes. That's a better word. But being able to recognize, okay, yeah. And I think it's interesting because when I think of, you know, excellence, perfection, typically for me, certain people come to mind, you know, people that I respect in their, you know, occupational world or, you know, and granted, sometimes when I think of, you know, perfection, I think of, you know, people will quite often use, you know, the terminology OCD, you know, that kind of thing. And it's interesting as we're having this topic, how many different people will tend to come to mind in that process that I might respect from an excellence. And then others that I think, you know, from my perspective, get caught up in, you know, trying to be perfect, perfectionistic, having certain things just certain ways. Mm-hmm. And it's like that effort from my perspective can seem futile. Mm-hmm. As in a striving for perfection to where nothing can be out of order.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just it's funny how this topic is just bringing a multitude of thoughts mm-hmm. to mind. And in that process, mm-hmm. people, circumstances.
Yeah.
It's interesting how it is, you know, another part that comes to mind is basically, you know, the CR dynamic of being able to recognize, no, we're just, because I think so often excellence or perfection can be masks we wear.
Yeah.
You follow me in that desire to do the things.
In an attempt to be bulletproof.
Yes.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, CR, that safe place, you come as you are, you're there, you know, you don't have to have that armor on, mm-hmm. if you will, that says, okay, I'm bulletproof and I'll show up and I'll do my duty. And then I go home mm-hmm. recognizing, nah, I'm not that person. Mm-hmm. Or I may not be that person that everybody thinks I am. Mm-hmm. I think that's a real struggle at times. And I, you know, that's where, because, you know, it's not that people won't have, well, just like you shared about myself, even, you know, it's like, not sure I fully agree with that. And yet that's where you come from. That's your perspective. And in that you can say, I'm wondering, you know, if other people, or to the degree other people see you as that way, can make it seem like, okay, they just don't know me like I know myself, mm-hmm. even though that includes my perspective of myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that becomes the wrestling as well. Part of the wrestling. Does that make sense?
It does make sense.
Okay.
It makes a lot of sense. I think, again, excellence is such a squishy mm-hmm. topic, right? So it's like, One person's perception of excellence could be another person's perception of incompetence or missing the mark or whatever. So that's another thing where a lot of high performers, someone will say, I've never seen someone be better at that than you. Or, you know, they'll get a lot and they'll just be like, you have no idea. This is terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's like a Tiger Woods. Like, no one's going to compliment him because his inner critic is already saying, no, you don't understand. It's not anything like you thought it. Like, you're wrong. You know what I mean? And so I feel like that's one thing about excellence. It's a squishy topic too. And I also say, like, excellence, the pursuit of excellence can become debilitating. I like what you said, to the degree. I don't know if debilitating isn't what I'm going for. It can become a labyrinth.
Okay.
So you're never going to reach the exit because you're lost in this labyrinth of excellence and you're I got to fix that imperfection. And it's like, you look to your left, oh, I got to fix that imperfection. Yeah. And so I also think, you know, cause I kind of hear what you're saying about even your own perception of yourself, Mark. And the fact is, you get stuff done, which that doesn't come with a perfectionist. Does that make sense? Like, being able to churn through and get things done. And, you know, every day you can see you're moving towards completion, right?
Okay.
I feel like a perfectionist, they get lost in that labyrinth to the degree where, you know, finishing maybe isn't on the radar.
I hear where you're coming from.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So again, it depends on what you view excellence as well, because exactly. I think there are some trade-offs in our everyday work that says, am I going to perfect this or am I going to get it done?
Yeah.
Right?
I hear you.
Because
that's part of your quantification, if you will.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think excellence looks like getting things done, right?
Sure.
In the real world, that's what excellence looks like. But again, I think someone who's a perfectionist sees excellence as perfection, sure. right? Like, and I don't know.
You used the word Tiger Woods, the name Tiger Woods. As you were describing, or we were talking about that, Robin Williams comes to mind for me. Mm.
Okay.
You know, someone, and I think that's, it might be the combination of someone who I perceived as being excellent in their craft.
Mm-hmm.
And yet I think maybe he got at times lost in that labyrinth
mm-hmm.
of not being able to see his worth in the other things he was. And here again, I'm not speaking of him. I value, you know, who Robin Williams was as an actor. And to me, it was a sad thing that he, you know, ended up taking his life. And I think it was that pursuit, if you will, and that ability to have a level of, okay, yeah, I do this one thing well, and that doesn't mean that I'm a terrible, awful person in these other things. And I think as you were describing that dynamic, that came to mind for me. And I think at times, and you can speak to this maybe as well, when we have such lofty dynamics, that the labyrinth that you refer to can lead to that depression, disappointment, mm-hmm. you know, it's like, so I think that's another, mm-hmm. I'm just thinking about that excellence and how it can be difficult.
But I really like what you're saying about excellence being that 98, you know, percent kind of thing. And I think that's really something we should all embrace. But again, I think it gets lost and we translate it for perfection, or sometimes we think of excellence as the 101, like the extra credit, right? And it's like, went above and beyond. That's excellent. And so that can be a getting lost in that pursuit of, well, I have to go above what's expected in order to be excellent, which is, I think, can become problematic. But when you think about, you know, that pursuit of excellence and people who are at the top, mm-hmm. Robin Williams being an example.
Sure.
The stamina it's required to stay at the top is unbelievable. Like, I don't, people who aren't at the top cannot understand the amount of effort it takes to stay at the, you know, king of the hill, right?
Sure.
And I think someone, I can think of Tiger Woods again, like how long he's been on the top and how long he's been clawing to stay at the top.
Mm.
Like, he gets in this major accident, you know,
sure,
breaks things, whatever, and now he's clawed his way back to the top. And you gotta imagine, it's just so draining.
Mm.
And you can also see how it takes everything in him to stay there to the degree where he doesn't have much left to maintain his family and some of those dynamics where he's had issues relationally, some pretty significant ones that tend to get kind of forgotten about as he claws back to the top of excellence in the world of golf. But I think just the amount, going back to your term, energy, the amount of energy it takes to stay at the top of a thing is more, you know, so much more than the amount of energy it takes to stay two rungs below that ladder.
Sure.
Right? And it's like, well, they're not that far, so it can't be that much. No, you don't understand. Every rung closer to the top, right, is going to be that exponentially harder.
Sure.
And so I think of Robin Williams, too, like your example, like you're only going to, no matter how good you are,
right.
Tiger Woods, right?
Sure.
Michael Jordan, Robin Williams. You cannot stay at the top forever. You can't because you're going to die, for one, right? Like there's a natural limit to your abilities. But the off chance, like I should say, if you started at the top young, the chances that you're going to stay at the top the rest of your life are pretty slim. So what do you do once you slip down those rungs? Is that who you were? You know, and I feel like in a lot of cases, you start to see how lives crumble when that's no longer something they can claim, you know? Yeah. And Robin Williams, I think, might be an example of that. I know he also had some like mental health sicknesses.
Sure.
Like Lewy body dementia or something. Was that him?
Not that I recall, but I'm not saying.
I think
he definitely had some mental health dynamics in play.
We're going to have to check that. But yeah, sure. I'm pretty sure.
You brought it up. You're going to have to check it.
No, I'm just kidding. You want me to look right now? I will.
No. You can. I mean, I'm okay either way.
I don't want to say that if it's not true. Well, but I think
we're saying we're not sure
that
it might be him.
Yeah.
But
anyway, the point is, in his life, I can see how staying at the top became, you know, impossible. Yeah. And he kind of slipped down and then that became something that was hard to not see on a daily basis. I'm no longer up there and I want to be maybe where again you see someone like Tiger Woods was like probably, to be healthy, he could have slipped from the top by now, you know, and maybe a few times he has, but he just always has to climb right back up there to the degree where, I don't know, it kind of just, like, I admire it, but I also feel like maybe not the healthiest individual.
So let's bring this back to a personal dynamic then.
Sure.
Do you, other than the ultimate frisbee, do you have an area that you might be striving to put too much energy in excellence? Do you have an area where you might be, maybe you're operating at the 98, but maybe that needs to adjust some?
Yeah, I think.
Reminds me of like Andy Stanley choosing to cheat.
Yes.
That's kind of that process that comes to mind.
Yeah. And just go
ahead and clarify that. Yeah.
Catch the Linda up. Our listener, Linda. If you don't know, choosing to cheat, I think it was a book, but it's definitely a sermon by Andy Stanley, is this idea that if you're going to cheat somewhere, you cheat the ministry, not your family. That was like one of his primary, you know, like points is a lot of times.
Prioritizing. Right. In the prioritizing we do.
Yep.
Yes.
And he was saying a lot of ministers fail in the sense that they prioritize the ministry over their family and therefore lose their family or, you know, or whatever. Sure. Right. And so his concept of choosing to cheat is really about just priorities and learning how to prioritize the right things over the things that feel like the right things.
Sure.
Right.
And that's where my question to you comes from. It's like, is there an area that, you know, you might be in your personal dynamic putting more energy than you need to in that pursuit of excellence for someone else?
Yeah. So I've struggled with that my whole life. The thing is, I have a natural limit that kicks in called depression.
Okay.
So what I find is when I pursue excellence, and when I say excellence, I mean the perfection version of excellence.
Sure.
In any one area, especially when it comes to trying to maintain or achieve approval, it's not sustainable for me.
Sure.
It becomes a taskmaster. It contributes greatly towards depression, and when those things start kicking in, thankfully, I've learned over my life that that's a natural limit, or that's like a natural sign that, hey, maybe this thing you need to stop or scale way back or whatever. And so I've had periods of that in my life. I think I've talked about this before, but for a while I was leading the Celebrate Recovery Ministry at our church, and recognized that pursuit of excellence there took more out of me than I eventually had, right?
Sure.
And other things started to take more of me, both my family and work, to the degree that what I had left to give at CR never felt like enough. It always felt like I was falling short. And, you know, I'm not saying that's even true. I'm just saying my perception of it and my struggle with this word excellence. And, you know, it's like you can always look around, kind of that labyrinth idea. You can always look around and say, oh, look, that's not excellent. And therefore, I need to work harder. And sometimes you look at that and you go, I just don't have the energy today. So not today, but tomorrow. And that not today, but tomorrow, I really need to fix that, can drain you of energy over the course of time, right?
Sure.
Like, whether you're doing the thing or you're not doing the thing, the fact that you feel like you should be doing the thing can really be draining. And so for me, it became, just a daunting thing that I was never going to get to excellent because there's too many cracks where excellence was leaking out.
I gotcha.
And so it's like, I no longer had this idea that I could reach excellence. It was more like we're losing excellence. I'm getting further from excellence because of these cracks leaking. And again, very much a perception thing and a subjective thing. Because I think I would hope you could look at the ministry outside and say, no, it was great. It's doing great.
Sure.
You know, like it's healthy. Yeah. It's whatever. It had more to do with me and my view. So that's kind of a long-winded answer. I also wanted to talk about code and programming because you did mention
that. Yeah, go Go ahead.
I mean, your idea is like, it's perfection or not. It's one or it's zero. It's working or it's not.
I gotcha.
I would say it's more like building a house.
Okay.
Right? Like, you can build a house 100,000 ways, right? And it by when it's up and constructed and you drive by, it can look, that's done. That's complete. It looks good. Okay. It is excellent, right?
Okay.
And you would know as a builder, like, just because something looks done and complete and perfect from the outside doesn't mean it works correctly or it's going to stand the test of time. Or, you know, you walk in the front door and it, like, blocks the kitchen. Like, you can't get to the kitchen or whatever. Gotcha. You know, sure. It's like weird choices where you're like, it worked in this one case.
Sure.
You know, you walk in the front door and, yeah, the front door works. You can get in. But then you realize, well, what if someone's in that room? They can't get out now.
Yeah.
Whatever. You know what I mean? Like, right. Some of those things that require experience and design and, you know, things like that start to break down over time or in certain uses that weren't considered in the beginning. Right?
Sure.
Or something can be under-engineered and start to fall apart over a little bit of use, right? Or something can be over-engineered to where it's like, hey, we want to replace this hardwood floor we want to replace this carpet with hardwood or whatever. And you start to try and pull the carpet up and it's got a kajillion staples or, sure. You know, you think about those cases where something is over nailed or whatever, sure. Right? Code is very much like that in all those ways where, yes, you can get it to where it's working, but that doesn't mean it won't break when this person does that while you're doing this, right? Or
sure.
Doesn't mean it won't break after repeated use. Or let's say it worked for two people coming in the door, but when you got 22 people coming through the door, all of a sudden it breaks because it's, you know what I mean?
Sure, I hear you there.
So it's very much like, I would say, building a house in that sense. And perfection in that world can look like overbuilding.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
And that's one thing I struggle with sometimes is like, that pursuit of perfection of like, this will be built perfectly, but it comes at the expense of it being built, right?
Sure.
And you go around and around, you rebuild things and you go, no, that's not, you know, that doesn't square enough with this other door jam. I'm going to take them all down, start over.
Sure.
Right. And so you can kind of get lost in that reprogramming things, refactoring is what we call it, you know? Okay.
You can get stuck in that loop of refactoring.
Yeah, yeah. And there's been many times in my career where I just get lost in that. And yet, there's this healthy balance. There really is about pursuing excellence, but also being willing to say, but it's done and it's working and I believe it's done well. You know, that 98%.
Sure.
To where you're actually getting things done moving forward. But that it can be hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No doubt.
How about you?
How about
areas
me what?
Where you potentially, what was the question? Is that like struggle with
excellence?
Excellence or yeah. It's caused you to push too far or something.
Sure. Cheap. I think my personal area would tend to be, you know, work or even I know you'll use the word performance. But that aspect of getting things done.
Yeah.
You know, and I, at times that will be, you know, I can admit, and I think it can be cyclical as far as, you know, based on my other relationships, you know, like my relationship to Chris or the kids or that kind of thing, because I think those relationships are the ones like where you're sharing that aspect of energy helps you recognize when your excellence is out of priority. Mine is my family or, you know, the relationships that I have to the point of, you know, if I'm not doing what I said I would do with them. And, you know, because for me, I think even as different as male and female, I think, you know, I can tend to, you know, put my excellence towards work because I see that as being a provider for my family type thing.
Yeah.
But I also realize there are times when I could pull back in that area to be more available for Chris and the kids type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the part. And I think there are times when it is more cyclical, you know, and then those, in those areas at those times of our, you know, where Chris and I are related, you know, when maybe when she's off school, you know, and she has more time available, you know, it seems like I'm just going away and working all the time more so. And that's a cyclical dynamic. You know, it's not that her opinion isn't important or, you know, that I'm completely out, but being able to accept that influence from other people to be able to say, okay, yeah, is it that I'm gone that much more, or is it that we're, you know, one of us doesn't have the same things that were, you know, kind of same diversions, if you will, mm-hmm. that kind of thing, mm-hmm. to where I think that can play into it for mm-hmm. me personally, mm-hmm. is being able to say, okay, yeah, I'm able to recognize I'm putting too much energy towards this. And then we're also able to have that conversation that says, okay, is this typically the routine energy? And is it the fact that there's something else going on that's tending to view this dynamic differently, mm-hmm. you know? And I think that's the difficult part of excellence, mm-hmm. based on two different standpoints.
Yeah. Well, because, I mean, you hit on a very important point, which is needs change, seasons shift.
Sure.
And what looked like excellence in one season may not look like excellence in another. And yeah. yet our only measuring stick is our past successes and achievements. A yeah. lot of time, I shouldn't say only, I mean, it can become that way to where it's
sure.
like, I'm not getting as much done as I was previously. And that's our only measuring stick, instead of recognizing, yes, but I'm doing also increasing my energy over here.
Yep.
And that matters. So this is an important deduction in excellence yeah. in this area, because I moved it over to this other area. And if we're short-sighted,
yep.
you know, we cannot see that connection, and it can cause problems one way or another.
Exactly.
Whether we step away from the thing we should be diverting energy to, or we just get down on ourselves and beat ourselves up because we're not producing over in this other area like we used to.
Yep.
Yeah, it can be detrimental if we're not able to step back and see those connections and do it intentionally.
Sure.
Right? 'Cause,
and that's the thing too that I'm referring to. It's like, and I don't mean to make it seem as if, you know, my work's always the most important, but yet I'm learning to understand that there's a value in being able to take advantage, well, a healthy awareness mm-hmm. of those cycles mm-hmm. to be able to say, okay, yeah, during this time when there might be more time for Chris in a schedule, I can pull back some
yeah.
to be more available, because there is going to be a coming season where we're both kind of consumed with the, you know, occupational dynamics yeah. as they restart. And I think part of excellence, if you will, is being able to take those seasons into consideration mm-hmm. to know, you know, kind of
yeah.
the season to be able to say, okay, this is our time to, you know, this is our time to reap and this is our time to sow,
yeah.
you know, type dynamic. Yeah. Because I think so often, and I think, I'm not trying to shift in a different direction, but it may sound that way for a moment, but let me bring back.
Frisbee again?
No, definitely not. I think so often we are very, as individuals, we are very unaware of how many cycles are operating all the time. In other words, we've talked about, you know, creation and, you know, but I think in our mechanized world, you know, there's typically a focus on being able to purchase something to do that job. And we don't, and at times we ignore many of the cycles that I think are designed into the creation, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, growing in awareness of the cycles and how to not benefit, but yeah, ultimately that awareness allows me to see that cycle and be able to adjust accordingly. Because if I'm not aware of the cycle, I just continue to do the same thing because I've always done it that way.
Yep.
In this mechanized way, this is how you do it. Mm-hmm. Boom. And I think there is a part of excellence that's complete, that's aware of the cycles and the changes. And because, I mean, I guess it's just, that's a passion for me, that, you know, being able to identify like life cycle stages and all the things that happen with that, because like you said, there's going to come a day when we're going to die. So how am I living my life now in such a way to be able to make that transition and do it well, to where I'm training, I'm bringing up other people in the things that I know how to do in such a way that promotes that cycle living, that says, okay, when, and granted, there again, culture has changed to where we don't necessarily have that transgenerational handing down of some information, but I think that is a helpful part of living in excellence, is when I can take that sage wisdom, if you will, that says, well, you know, have you thought about it this way?
Should we mention the fact that we're
I'm okay with that.
We're picking up on this conversation about excellence right as Mark was about to say some amazing stuff. The recording stopped in true excellent form.
We are exposing our excellence, our level of excellence.
That's right. Yes. That's right. So you were saying.
Yes. I was talking about the life cycle stages and how having the benefit of seeing, you know, that sage wisdom that comes from someone who has seen the cycles before, I think adds to our ability to live in excellence. Because if I'm just living my life in a mechanical way that does the same thing over and over again, and I'm not accepting influence from other people, then I'm missing out.
Yeah.
And it's even actually become a little more personal for me since that dynamic, you know, since that day we recorded, because since then, my mom has passed away.
Yeah.
And what I'm recognizing, I've lost that opportunity, you know, in some ways, but it's interesting to me because as I remember the conversation we were having, you know, this process of excellence, I've thought about it in this context of Psalms 31, where I think Proverbs 31, where we think of the Proverbs 31 woman. Okay. And that in and of itself has become a representation of what excellence is. You know, because here's this woman out here, you know, that everyone should, you know, follow after. You know, that's the goal, if you will. And as I'm thinking about that, rethinking that, you know, the actual proverb talks out, you know, who can find an excellent wife. Okay. Well, the reality of it is, I think that excellence comes with time. The ability to see, because I believe that proverb was written about a specific woman at a specific time, that writer actually knew a person.
Yeah.
And I think so often we can lose sight of that in the excellence. This is what you have to do in comparison to that Proverbs 31 person. I'm not measuring up. But yeah, if I'm able to have people coming into my life that are able to identify that and see, well, are you doing this? Because I think that's what it comes down to. Who can find it? Excellence, I don't think, is something we attain at the snap of a finger. We can't just become that. I think of when I thought of that verse, I'm thinking of it in context of my parents, actually. You know, I would say my dad found an excellent wife. Was she an excellent wife 63 years ago?
Probably not. Was the potential there? Of course. Mm-hmm. But I believe that excellence was something that they were, that relationship mm-hmm. was something they were able to build into near perfection mm-hmm. to a certain degree mm-hmm. by identifying the cycles and patterns of relationship over time and building on them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what having those people, those sage people in our lives that are able to say, yeah, but have you noticed this? And then when this happens, then you, then you do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, and I think we can get lost in trying to attain that, that upper excellence instantaneously and not allowing it to be a process mm-hmm. of just living in daily obedience.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's where that, that, if you will, over time, And I think, you know, there again, culturally, as we've become a little more divided, we've lost that ability to have that sage influence in our lives. Hmm. And I think we miss out on the ability to walk in excellence every day by talking with God first and saying, okay, what would you have me to do?
Yeah.
Not looking at other people saying, okay, that's what excellence looks like.
Or my past output.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not allowing that to, here again, when we go too far forward, I believe we're in God's territory, and we go too far backwards, I believe mm-hmm. we're in God's territory. We have to recognize we can't change the past and we can't control the future.
Mm-hmm.
So our ability to basically stay in the moment and be doing the things that God would want me to do as a parent, as a husband, as a follower, not necessarily in that same order, but yeah, as a follower of Christ, how that influences me as a father, as a husband, as a father, and you know, from there on down, a mm-hmm. son, you know, those kind of things. It's just, when I'm thinking about that, I think we can get lost in trying to make everything excellent right now.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like there's a maybe a crossover between wisdom and true excellence, right? So a lot of this episode is basically talking about our conflation
mm-hmm.
of excellence with perfectionism.
Sure.
When I think we'd be best off to conflate it with wisdom.
Sure.
Right? To say excellence looks like wisdom.
Yep.
Because wisdom tells you the right thing to be doing at the right time.
Yes.
And Proverbs 31 woman comes out of a Proverbs, the wisdom book, right?
It yeah,
follows
exactly.
up with excellence. And I do believe as you operate in wisdom, excellence will follow you.
Sure.
But it's not the goal. It's not the thing, the carrot in front of you.
Exactly.
Right? And I think that's your point, is like we should be about doing the things we should be about doing.
Yes.
In the context of what God's called us to do on a daily basis. And some days, I mean, we just re-released the white blank page.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The encore.
Yeah.
But as I think about that, that applies to this in the sense that we need to reset. We need to blank that page and start over and think about, what does excellence really look like? Because I thought it was going to look like this.
Yeah.
Building the barns, the storage for my, you know, like using that example that the Bible talks about. This guy, this rich
crops,
guy who had all these plans for building. God basically said, you don't have... that's out of your control. That's whatever that, you know, but like, that's what I thought it was when I started this week. But right now it feels like all that's going awry. What does true excellence look like for me this week? I think maybe it looks like focusing my attention on, you know, my children who just went back to school and they're maybe struggling. They're not, but like maybe they're struggling or whatever. Yeah. It's like, that's where excellence has shifted to this week.
Sure.
You know,
and I think we can even recognize part of excellence, if we want to include wisdom, is also intentionality.
Yeah.
You know, that ability to be aware and say, okay, what is it this week? Not in a reactive sense, but in a proactive sense.
Yeah.
That says, okay, this shift is coming. I'm aware of this and I'm willing to have the preemptive conversation, even if you will, to be able to say, hey, this is coming up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how are you feeling? And then when we're there, it's like, hey, how's it going? You know, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. And I think that's the part of us when we're in that authentic space to be able to live that way, you know, because as I'm reading about this, probably, you know, there's different parts where, you know, ships and food and, you know, and it's like, I think every person and definitely every woman has those characteristics. And it's just a matter of broadening that dynamic over a lifetime. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. as I'm thinking about that in the context of eulogizing my mom, mm. you know, all of these different things come to mind.
Yeah.
And I'm recognizing they are, you know, laudable.
Yeah.
And yet I'm also recognizing that's not likely who my dad married. Yeah. I know it's not who my yeah. dad married 63 years ago. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. So that's where that mm. that thought of excellence and the sage, and you know, because I do think, you know, so much that it reminds me, I hope I didn't mention it in the first bit, but it reminds me of that country song where the guy talks about I hear voices, and it's basically I hear my grandfather say, mm. I hear my dad say, mm. I hear voices all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not mm-hmm. not a mental health yeah. issue, but it's the fact that I have these sage, yeah. you know, thoughts that yeah. go through my mind, you know, don't do this, yeah. do that.
Yeah.
And I think when God, or, you know, is that voice, and when I'm walking in obedience, I think the excellence, if you will, mm-hmm. follows over a lifetime. Yeah.
So then you could also say the excellence we're defining is closer to wisdom, closer to maturity.
Yes. Right?
In the excellence that's attained through maturing, and maturing is not a process that can be expedited.
Yes, right? I agree.
It comes much. With what it comes with.
You like know, a seed.
Yes. And today, you know, maybe your version of excellence is not your ultimate yeah. excellent standpoint, but it is what you have today. But trusting the process of maturity.
Yes.
And that comes with that daily review of, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And being what able, I think when we started the podcast, you know, when we did, you know, I think we were talking about, you know, the context of excellence and perfection.
Yeah.
You know, and recognizing there's only ever been one perfect person.
Right.
You know, and so therefore my desire to attain perfection is futile.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah,
know
that too.
And yeah. yet there is that process of being able to say, okay, am I gonna live today to its fullest, and am I gonna, you know, make the most of the opportunities I have? Mm-hmm. Sure. But yet I'm gonna trust God for the difference versus my ability to, you know, say, okay, I'm going to get there today.
Yeah.
It's going to happen today.
Yeah.
And I think that's where, you know, I think that as I'm sharing on that, I'm reminded of that scripture that talks about, you know, these guys say, hey, we're going to go to this town and we're going to do this. And it's like, no, you guys just don't get it. You know, you can't be guaranteed what tomorrow says. So, you know, don't go there.
Yeah.
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 Kind of like your guy with the barn, you know, yep. same context. Yeah. I know what's going to happen. Yeah. No.
Yeah.
Today's what I get. Today's what I need to live in all, you know, authentic relationship with Christ in such a way that I'm doing
yeah.
what he would call me to do.
And that's where we get, if the good Lord wills and the creek don't rise.
There you go. There you go. I like your use of the word creek. I'm almost having to challenge myself to say it that same way.
Yeah. But
yeah. Over much learning.
I only say it in that specific phrase.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Otherwise yeah. it's creek.
That used to be the way I said it all the time.
Crick?
Crick. Oh, yeah.
That's Pennsylvania?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh. That was
a southern thing.
No, that was a... I would say that. I would say crick.
Yeah.
There's, my family will pick on me. There's a few words that I have learned to re-say. And crick
yeah, me
to
too.
Creek would be one of yeah. them.
Boat is one for yeah. me.
Parlor is one. And I still have to say it. I still have to enunciate. Parlor. Yeah, I have to watch out because I'll say it differently. That's my transition. Yeah, well, part of my transition.
Yes, to excellence.
In growth.
That's right.
Yes.
You say parlor correctly. Yeah. That's part of excellence. Yeah.
You said that very well, by the way. Yes.
And thank you. I mean, now
if I could say it quite like that, I'd be happy.
I think you did, Mark. Yeah. I think you.
I know. I emphasize that PAR part. Yeah, very much to her. Yeah.
It felt excellent.
Well, thank you
to me, the way you said it. So,
so thanks for
that's how I saw it.
That's anyway. Right, and I appreciate the reminder for the wrap up. And yeah. I do think that was a good
intentional.
Yeah,
unintentional, but
it was a good reminder that we don't have to necessarily walk in excellence.
That's right.
On a daily basis, I mean.
And also a good reminder that sometimes the creek rises.
Yes, it does.
The recording stops.
That's right. As we think about, we might have a storm here in the next couple of days.
That's right.
We're going to probably experience some creek rising.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
But either way, Justin, thank you for your time. Thank you for all you do on to make this podcast possible. So
thank you as well.
Yeah. If it had been up to me, I probably would have just released it as it was. And it's like people would have been saying, hey, what was Mark trying to say there? We lost it. The sage wisdom. And we didn't get it.
Right,
we didn't get
the sage.
You're not going to get it from me. I'll be honest with you. But those people who have lived before us.
That's right.
Yeah. But so that's how we see it.
Hey, thank you for listening to our podcast. If you like How I See It, please do all the things that podcasts tell you to do. Subscribe, rate, review, follow us, and or talk nicely about us on social media. If you want to reach out, the email is us@howiseeit.click. Yep, I said .click, as in .click. Please tell your friends about this show, and we'll see you on the next one.